You're listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. It is our desire that you will be helped by this Bible message.
Acts chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 15. The Bible begins there. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Elsadana, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let this habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have company with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from among us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I pray that you'd give us what we need tonight. Lord, I believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. I believe that this passage is such a powerful truth that if we would capture it and if we would apply it, I believe it could change our lives. I pray that it would help us. I pray we'd learn some lessons tonight as we look for a few moments at the life of Peter, but also at the life of Judas. Lord, I pray that you would please minister to our hearts and speak to us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I don't know, I guess some of you are not on Facebook. How many of you are on Facebook? Let me see your hands, all right? Okay, some of you are. You may have seen the meme that has gone around. It goes around almost every year around the Super Bowl. But they say you ought to be as excited about church as you are about the Super Bowl. But then the twist is, they say, so when the preacher gets done preaching, you take the jug of Gatorade and pour it all over him just like they do after the Super Bowl. Well, I'll tell you this, if I preach as long as the Super Bowl, then you have permission to dump the jug of Gatorade, but it's not going to be that long. So don't act like it is, all right? We'll get there and we'll get done. But we see in this passage, verse number 15, the Bible says, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Do you realize the significance of that statement right there? The fact that Peter was still being used by God is nothing short of a miracle. Peter, the one that denied the Lord three times. You remember that? And Jesus even told him he would. And he said, oh, no, I'll never deny you. Well, guess what he did? Exactly what he thought he'd never do. Exactly what he said he would never do. Be careful saying you'll never do something. Be careful saying that, oh, that'll never happen to me. It happened to Peter. But yet here we are after the ascension, and God is using Peter. Aren't you glad that Jesus did not give up on Peter, and I'm glad he doesn't give up on us? You say, well, how did this come about? What made the change? It's a whole nother message, but if you look at John 21, the change was that Peter got the love question settled in his heart. Jesus came to Peter. He asked Peter three times. He said, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter was struggling with that, because he had some disappointments and he was disillusioned and he had some regrets, but yet Peter got it settled. And I said it this morning, I'll say it again. The way that you and I can be faithful to the Lord for a lifetime is you've got to stay in love with Jesus every day. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. There is no substitute for that. Programs don't take the place. Routines don't take the place. Rituals don't take the place. Rules don't take the place. Relationship must be there. We must have a love for Christ. Number one, I see the restoration of Peter. Another example in Scripture I think we know is a man by the name of Jonah. A man that ran from God. A man that God called, and instead of going where God said, he went the opposite direction. But aren't you glad that God never gave up on Jonah? The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. We know that Peter was a man of second chances and third and fourth and fifth chances, and God used Peter. There was restoration. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you're listening by way of the live stream. Maybe you're listening on the radio. Maybe you will listen to this message later when it's archived, and maybe you'll have gone through a time in your life where you've gotten away from God. I want to tell you, he's in the restoration business. Hallelujah for that. We see that Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. The number of disciples that went from 12 minus one with Judas. And now here we are in the upper room. There are 120 disciples. Isn't that amazing? They didn't have internet. They didn't have advertisement. They didn't have full color, state of the art flyers like we have today, thanks to Miss Grace Johnson. They didn't have all the high-tech equipment. They didn't have the beautiful buildings. As a matter of fact, they were running and hiding for their lives, but they had something better. They had the power and the difference that the empty tomb made in their lives. And friend, I want to tell you, what's greater than programs, what's greater than buildings, what's greater than all the technology is when you and I, when we recognize the power of the gospel, that we serve a Savior who is alive and the tomb is empty. Hallelujah for that. Number one, the restoration. Number two, I see there is a reference to Scripture. Verse number 16, here's what Peter says. And I want you to think about this as he's telling the disciples, and you can almost imagine the light bulbs coming on in their minds. He says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field. And the Bible says in verse 20, it is written in the book of Psalms. It was there all along. And it's almost like these disciples were saying, oh, duh. How come we never saw that? How come we never realized that? How come we didn't really get it? And you know what I find in life when you go through hard times and when we go through difficult times? The answer is right here all along. If we will go back to the Word of God, I think many times we say, oh, there it was. I've read that verse 100 times. I've heard that verse preached. I've memorized that verse. But the Word of God is powerful, and the Word of God can turn on the lights. The Word of God can show you things. The Word of God gives us understanding. You see, God knew all along. Judas made the decision, but God knew what he would choose. It's hard for us to comprehend, but may I say, God is so much bigger, and God is so much stronger, and God is so much wiser than we can imagine. But there was the reference to Scripture. It had been prophesied that this is what would take place. But then I see in verse number 17, I see not only the restoration and the reference to Scripture, but thirdly, I see the regret. Now, Peter was restored, but Judas was not. Now, this is, again, another message for another night. I personally believe for Judas, after he betrayed the Lord, after he had led those men there to take Jesus away, I believe that Judas could have repented. I think he could have confessed. I believe that's possible. By the way, if it wasn't, that might be scary for some of us. If there are sins that God cannot forgive, if there are sins too great for the mercy of God, then we're all in trouble. But I believe Judas could have, but here's the problem. He didn't. Judas, rather than repenting, Judas, rather than getting things right, he took his own life. He ended it all. He took away the opportunities that he could have had to be restored. So I want to say number three, I see the regret. Think about the amazing opportunities that Judas had. He walked with Jesus. He heard the teachings. Brother Daniel in Sunday school this morning, he spoke about the Sermon on the Mount. Of course, the disciples were there and then the multitudes that were gathered there. But can you imagine sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing those teachings? That's what Judas heard. Can you imagine seeing the miracles? I'm not talking about from outside or from the crowd. But can you imagine being like part of the team? Can you imagine, Jesus, how did you do that? Jesus, what in the world is going on? Jesus, tell us about this. And Judas had all those opportunities. For the disciples, their time with Jesus was their training. But now we get to the book of Acts, and we see that God is using them in ministry to do what they had learned from Jesus. This is what ministry is. You and I cannot do it without Jesus. We cannot do it without learning from him. We cannot do it without him teaching us. And Judas had all the teaching. Judas had all the opportunities, but he wasted it. Number four, I see there's a reminder for us. Judas took his life, and they took that money that they had given him for the purchase of revealing where Jesus would be and leading them to Jesus. And they took that money that they had given Judas, and they took that money and they bought a field. And they said, we're going to call this from now and forever, we're going to call this the field of blood. And every time you'd walk by that field, anytime anybody would point to that field, they'd say, why is that called the field of blood? That's kind of gruesome. I mean, can it be called the field of flowers, or can it be called the field of trees, or can it be called the field of what? No. It's the field of blood. How come? Because that served as a reminder that when you and I, when we get away from God, there is no limit to how far we can go. And Judas is in hell tonight, not because he took his life, but Judas is in hell tonight because he rejected Jesus Christ. He never put his faith and trust in Jesus. And that's the only thing a person can do to go to hell, is they can reject Christ, and that is it. That's all it takes. And Judas lived a life and will spend eternity with regret. There's the reminder for us. The reminder of what happens when you betray the Lord, what happens when you reject the Lord, what happens when you refuse to get right with the Lord. But then I see quickly, number five, I see there was a replacement. This is such an interesting passage because the disciples picked a replacement for Judas. They had it narrowed down to two. They had Justus and Matthias. And they picked Matthias. And in verse number 26, that's the last you hear of him. Guess what? He wasn't the replacement. He was the people's choice. They thought, this is the guy. And God said, I don't know what in the world you're doing, but that's not the guy. The guy that would replace Judas would be the Apostle Paul. And think about, now hang on. Think about all the things that the Apostle Paul did for the cause of Christ. And you know whose place he took? He took Judas' place. Think about all that Judas could have done. Think how God could have used Judas. But Judas wasted the opportunity. Friend, I want to tell you, don't waste an opportunity. Don't waste the opportunities you have with your family. Don't waste the opportunities you have to serve God. Don't waste the opportunities you have to be a witness and to share the gospel. Don't waste the opportunities you have to pray and to serve. And don't waste the opportunities you have with your children. Don't waste the opportunities to let your light shine. Don't waste the opportunities. Because if you and I will not be used by God, God has somebody else who he will use. There was the replacement. The Apostle Paul became that apostle who was one born out of due time. But we see that God was not limited by Judas's mistake. God had someone else that he would use to fill that spot. Aren't you glad that God is not limited by our mistakes? I want to tell you this. God's work will go on with us or without us. But my prayer is that it will go on with us. I want to be a part of God's work. The name Judas in the Bible is the same as the name Judah, who we find in as one of the sons of Jacob. And it's interesting that the name Judas, the name Judah, means praise. Now, here's an amazing thought. Did you know that Peter and Judas, that's an interesting comparison because they both messed up, but one got right and one didn't. But then there's a comparison I see between Judas in the New Testament and Judah in the Old Testament. I preached a message. I think it's been 4 or 5 years ago now. I may try to go back and look that up, and maybe I'll try to share that somehow. But did you know that Judah in the Old Testament, did you know that he messed up bad? Judah was a man that you would say, what a disaster. And yet it came time for Jacob to bless his sons. And guess which son God chose for Jesus Christ to come through? The lion of the tribe of Judah. You say, what happened? Well, somewhere along the line, Judah had a heart transplant. Judah got right with God. As a matter of fact, Judah was the one that was so hateful towards his brother. And Judah was the one that had an immoral, perverse relationship with someone he thought was a prostitute who was actually his daughter-in-law. And after all of that nonsense and all of that mess, you'd say, he's done. But not while God's still in the picture. God is a God that can take the broken. And God can take those who seem hopeless and those who seem helpless, and God can do a work. You say, what's the difference? Where does it come from? It comes from a Psalm 51 kind of prayer, like David prayed. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Wash me and I shall be clean. Cleanse me from sin. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. It comes when we sin and we acknowledge our sin and we get things right with God. Number six, I see not only the restoration of Peter, the reference to Scripture, the regret of Judas, the reminder for us, the replacement, the Apostle Paul, and then I see number six, I see the reason. How is it that Judas seemingly started out so well and yet ended so badly? And then Judah, the man in the Old Testament from whom the line of Christ would come through, the tribe of Judah, the sons of Judah, how is it that that man started out so bad and ended so well? What's the difference? Well, the difference is the heart. Can I tell you this? If we're not careful, we'll place so much emphasis on what everybody sees. And I think we should be concerned with our testimony. I think we should be concerned with what people see. I think we should let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. But can I tell you this? The Bible makes it very clear that God is more interested and what's in the inside. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. And tonight, as we look at these lessons from Judah, I want to say, first of all, if you've gotten away from God, if you've messed up, if you feel like you're a Peter, there's hope for you, and there's hope for me. Secondly, I want to say that no matter what you're going through in life, if you'll get in this book, you will be amazed that the answer is already there. You'll be amazed at the power of the Word of God. You see, the Bible is alive, and we always quote Hebrews 4:12, it is quick and it is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. But the verse goes on to say this, it discerns the thoughts and the intents of our heart. It knows what you're thinking. It knows the struggles that you have. This book is not a book with black letters on white paper. This is a book that is powerful. It is alive. It is a fire. It is a hammer. It is a light. It is a lamp. It is a sword. And this book has the answers to whatever you're facing, guaranteed. Because it's not my word. It's God's word. And then maybe you're here tonight and maybe you've got some regret. Can I tell you, don't live your life with regret. Get things right with God. That old devil will sit on your shoulder and he'll just tell you how you've gone too far. The devil will tell you how you're too bad. The devil will tell you how that all those people at church, you're just a hypocrite. The devil will tell you everything and anything, and that old devil is a liar. If the devil's mouth is moving, he's lying. But can I tell you, you don't have to live with regret. You can get things right with God. And then there's a reminder, that field of blood. Let's not experience the tragedy that Judas experienced. Let's learn from that tragedy. And then let's remember, number five, let's remember that there is a replacement. I remember our pastor in California. He'd always quote one of the men that worked on the buses, and he'd say, you know, if there's a bucket of water, stick your finger in that bucket and pull it out. Guess what? The water's fine. The water's still there. And what he was saying was that nobody is irreplaceable. That was kind of the thing he was saying. And that may not be true at your company, but in the work of God, we're just vessels. We're just instruments. We are just vessels in the hand of the master. And if you and I aren't going to be used by God, he will get someone who will say yes. He will get someone who will say, here am I, send me. And then lastly, the reason for it all. I want to tell you this, it's a matter of the heart. I'm not asking you, do you have people impressed? Do you have people that, you know, you've got them convinced? I'm not asking you, does your Sunday school teacher or do the coworkers or do your kids or does your spouse or does your pastor think you're doing good? It doesn't really matter a whole lot. What matters is not what people think. What matters is what God knows. And let's make sure that our heart is right. David said it like this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting.
Thank you for listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Coburnack. For more information about our ministry, please visit our website at vbcrr.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.